It's to the best of our knowledge. Here's the question of the day. Are we doomed? I mean, seriously, it's possible that climate change is already irreversible. I think everybody at some level is scared about it. And also sad. I am.
I cried twice when my daughter was born. The first time for joy, as any father would. And the second time for sorrow.
This is writer Roy Scranton. His baby daughter is now almost 2 years old.
Here is the takeaway. Unless the world changes course quickly and dramatically, the fundamental systems that support human civilization are at risk. We begin tonight with our chief environmental correspondent.
It was 10 or 15 minutes after she'd been born, and I was holding her, this brand new life, looking out the window of our hospital room over the parking lot. All the concrete and thinking about how all this land around us, the world that she'd been born into, had once been this vibrant place full of wild animals and clean water and clean air. It had all been changed and was only going to get worse throughout her life. Thinking about the effects of catastrophic climate change, 2 to 3 degrees Celsius warming by the middle of the century, thinking about the death of the oceans, thinking about the massive extinction event going on right now, and just the way that we've despoiled and poisoned the world that we live in.
It's not just on land. The oceans are absorbing more carbon dioxide.
I didn't know what to say to her. I'd brought her into this world and not fully grasped what that would mean for her life. So all I could do was cry and apologize. Eventually come to make a promise to do my best to teach her how to live in this world, this damaged, doomed world, with some kind of grace and faith that she can still have a rich and meaningful life.
Hope means the ability to still
our
be here,
best futures
fighting.
Hope right there in your face.
Hope,
at the
optimism, happiness.
Hope works.
Hope is essential.
Hope rises. She always does.
I'm Anne Strandchamps. Welcome to Hope, a 3-part series from To the Best of Our Knowledge. Episode 3, our final episode. Are we doomed?
Hope is connected to faith.
Of what use is love if the situation is hopeless?
Let's do hope.
You know, it's hard to do hope with the specter of climate change looming. The future today feels uncertain in a way I don't ever remember. And if my neighbors, colleagues, Twitter, Facebook, and my kids are any evidence, I'm not alone. Add Roy Scranton to that list. That experience with his daughter turned into a book with an ominous title. We're doomed. Now what? Steve Paulson sat down with Scranton to find out, and I want to give you a heads up. This is going to touch on some ethical issues that some of you might find troubling, including suicide.
I want to quote something that you wrote a few years ago. Here's what you said. When I look into the future, I see water rising up to wash out lower Manhattan. I see food riots, hurricanes, and climate refugees. I see the 82nd Airborne soldiers shooting looters. I see grid failure, wrecked harbors, Fukushima waste, and plagues. This is a really bleak view of the future. you're saying to really think about it, to confront it, we will change our lives because of this. We will think about what it means to lead a meaningful life in a different way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this is not only a possibility. I think this kind of reflection and reevaluation of what it means to live a human life is absolutely necessary, precisely because the effects of climate change on life as we know it are going to be so severe. It's not just rising seas and droughts and famines, right? Our whole value system, our whole conception of what it means to live a meaningful life in America is in crisis right now, and that crisis is only going to grow worse.
Explain that. What's wrong with our value system?
You know, what do we consider to be the good life in America? What's the American dream? You maybe own your own home, a couple cars, you're married and you have maybe a couple kids and some TVs, and you look forward to a blissful retirement when you get to travel the world on a cruise ship and go to Italy. That's simply not sustainable into the future. That's all built on 2 centuries of carbon exploitation of coal and oil that we've turned into human wealth.
You talk about some of the choices ahead for you as a parent and how you should raise your daughter. I mean, you say the question is, should you save for your daughter's college education or should you teach her to shoot, hunt, and live off the land?
Yeah. I mean, that question and framing it in that kind of dilemma is very much an attempt to try to get my head around this crisis in values.
So what about those teenagers who are listening to us right now, who are probably more focused on driver's ed or the prom or studying for the SATs? What do you say to them?
That the world is changing. And I mean, this is what we need to be thinking about, because we're all in that situation, focused on making our way in the world as it is. But that world is evaporating around us. What we're talking about is radical transformation of the entire environment that we live in the next 30 years. If we're looking at 2 to 3 degrees Celsius warming by 2050, which is the path we're on now, that's what the IPCC says, that's a radically swift and cataclysmic transformation.
So is it still possible to hope about the future?
It depends on what you want to hope for. For me, hope is always connected to faith, because you don't hope that you'll go to work in the morning. You know, I don't hope I'll change my daughter's diaper. I just do those things.
Right.
You hope for things that you don't have any control over. The question there is then what do you have faith in? Because that's where you can put your hope. Do I have faith that the economic elites and ruling classes and politicians and oil company executives and Silicon Valley investors who run the world that we live in now, do I have faith in them, in their wisdom and their ability to come together and put climate change center stage and to rebuild the global economy? No. I think such faith would be misplaced given their track record. I do have a faith in human resilience and the human ability to adapt to difficult situations and still find ways to lead meaningful and rich lives.
This is so complicated. I mean, so I have 2 kids, they're both in their early 20s, and they are saying that some of their friends are already making the decision not to have any children because of climate change. And I have a couple of reactions to that. I mean, one is it just makes me sad. That is how they see the future of the planet. And the other is, well, maybe this is also grounded in some really hard-headed realism.
Yeah, absolutely. The choices we face, the world that we face is going to challenge us in every way not just physically and not just politically, but ethically, we're not well equipped to know how to make this change.
Yeah, but I mean, as you say in your book, if you take this thinking to its logical conclusion, if you really want to save the planet, you should die. That would be the most Earth-friendly choice to make, but that is the essence of nihilism, of not believing in any future. Collectively, we as a species stop having children, which is not going to happen, but I mean, that's basically saying we don't believe in the future. We're doomed.
You're right that the reductio ad absurdum of this belief that we're individually responsible in our consumer choices and in our lifestyle choices for climate change, the only way to follow that out to its fullest extent is to commit suicide, right? Because that's the best way to decrease your carbon footprint, full stop, right?
Right, yeah.
And I can't talk about that without mentioning David Buckle, the New York attorney who did just that. He lit himself on fire in Prospect Park as an act of protest to bring attention to climate change. And the memory of that act should stay with us. And that might be as well what some people decide when they decide not to have children. I don't know. I can't necessarily speak to that because, as you know, I didn't make that decision.
Right.
I decided to have a kid, even though having a child is one of the, in carbon footprint terms, it's one of the absolute worst things you can do.
So I have to ask, why did you and your wife decide to go ahead and have a kid?
Well, for a lot of reasons. For us, it felt like that this was the way to live the fullest possible human life, was to have another human, to continue the species. It's in effect making a commitment to the future.
Right.
To have a child is to commit oneself to a deep emotional and psychological investment in what happens over the next 50 years. It grounds you in a way that not having a child doesn't.
Because you're talking about how do we change from seeing more humans in the world as a blight on the planet to something that is hopeful and actually productive in some way.
Yeah. And we inhabit these contradictions, right? We live within these contradictions. There's still no sense in which adding more humans to the planet is a good idea. And yet, if we're committed to human existence at all, we have to keep making humans.
Right.
It's this conundrum, right? It's a contradiction that we just have to live within. But we're obligated nonetheless to commit to some radically different human future.
And maybe that's where that word faith comes in again.
That's right.
Roy Scranton is the author of We're Doomed, Now What? Steve Paulson talked with him.